Matthew chapter number 6 tonight, a much needed, I hate that people are here, much needed chapter as we continue through the study of Matthew. This is a very needed chapter here. We're continuing on, and like I said, there's several different opinions and thoughts about the Sermon on the Mount. My personal opinion after reading through it and seeing what's going on, I believe, like I said, I believe it's like an orientation. God is charging the disciples. He's given them a way that they're to be, how they're to live, how they're to act. And God, the Lord knows that we need this. I got a tract in the mail today, and it's been on my desk, and I was reading it today, and I thought how right it is that of our Christianity today. And I even thought about even changing tonight and preaching towards that, but I just never got liberty to. And so maybe next week, I don't know, I'm praying about it. But we really need revival. Those of us that are saved, we need to thoroughly get our hearts truly right with God. We need to get the clutter, and it's really been on my heart even before that, out of our lives. And I think about myself and the stupid cell phone and the TV, the computer, and they're great assets when we use them properly, but it's so much distraction in our day and hour. So easy to get on there and you know, you go on YouTube and you're looking for a recipe, or maybe you're looking for a how-to video on how to change something, you know, on your car. I've looked at that before on my vehicles, you know, for change it to find out if you've got a cabin filter. A lot of new vehicles have cabin filters. And, you know, you get on there to try to find out how to get to them and stuff. And then you're easily just, something else pops up and something else pops up. The next thing you know, you've taken a five-minute video and turned into, you've been on there for an hour. And we're so easily distracted. And chapter 6 here is, I believe, a recipe for what we need to do with our prayer life and for different things going on in our life. And chapter 5, he dealt with our living and our outward life and, the way we're to walk and to let our light shine. But chapter 6 deals more with a lot of our inward man, our prayer life, having a healthy prayer life, also about fasting and the things that we do. And so we're going to just pray, and we're going to jump right into chapter 6 tonight and hopefully get through this whole chapter. It's 34 verses, and I'll try not to get bogged down too much because I'm trying to just do an overview of this and all. So let's open up in prayer, and let's pray for these as I prayed. Y'all remember these, call these people's names out in prayer, and let's really pray for these people tonight. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And God, I'm glad that you are my Savior. I'm glad that I have made you the Lord of my life, but Lord, I definitely feel like lately I have let a lot of things slip, and I pray tonight through the preaching that I would get my heart thoroughly right, God, with you. Lord, I need revival in my life, Lord. Lord, it's not, Lord, I don't want it to be words, black words on a white page, God, or red words on a white page. God, I want it to speak to me. I want the Word of God to cleanse me, God, as Psalm 119 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. God, I pray tonight that we would get our hearts right with you, Lord. We need revival for the sake of the people of Rush County, Lord. God, judgment must begin at the house of God. And if we as Christians will get our hearts right with you, God, then you can judge the outside world as the Bible tells us. But God, when we as Christians don't have our hearts right, when we backbite and gossip, when we neglect your word, when we neglect the house of God, Lord, we are guilty, and I believe more accountable guilty than the lost world because we know better. And so tonight, for those that are here that are saved, God, may we sell out tonight, God, and get our hearts thoroughly right with you, Lord, inside and out. Lord, if there's any unconfessed sin, may we get it under the blood. And if there happened to be one tonight in here lost, Lord, I pray that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, we've let things slip, and God, we are not living as we should. Please, God. Lord, may the Holy Spirit of God convict us when we watch things that we should not. Lord, as David said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. God, as we watch television, may we be on guard not to let the things of the devil in our life, as we're on our phones, God, may we not allow it to take us away from the things that we should be doing. As Lord, we are walking our daily lives, Lord, may we not let the things that we hear, the people, the others that are claimed to be Christians, drag us down. Lord, we're not better than them by any means, but God, we are to walk holy because you are holy. We're not better than them, but we're better off because we're on the road to heaven. But God, we ought to be a better witness to these around us. God, may we not be that lukewarm Laodicean church. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would touch John. And God, if he's not saved, that he would seek out the truth. God, he's come before, and I pray, Lord, that he would before it's eternally too late, as others need to. God, in all these other requests that were on the hearts tonight, please, God, move in each and every one of them. And Lord, most importantly, may those that we've called out in prayer, if they're not saved, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I love you. Help me tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter number 6 now. We're looking here in the first part in verses 1 through 6. It deals with open prayer and closet prayer. He says here in verse 6, he's telling the disciples, again, he's charging them to, he wants you to have a prayer life. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with an open prayer is what I just did. But if that's all I'm doing, if that's my prayer life is just coming in here and open prayer, and I'm not praying privately in a prayer closet or on an altar somewhere, I am a hypocrite. And so he says here in verse 6, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. See, a lot of people, they take that first part and they say, you Christians, you shouldn't open prayer. You shouldn't pray at football games. Well, a lot of people got mad when they started banning prayer at football games. People were saying, well, you Christians are hypocrites. Jesus said you're not supposed to pray openly. That's not what he said. He said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. There's a lot of people, that's all their prayer life is to go out and make some big emotion. And that's what these Pharisees were doing. They're making this great big commotion in their open prayer life, and they have no closet prayer life. They're not getting in their private place, whether it's, listen, that's why I tell people, that's why we give out keys to the church, to those that are faithful. Listen, if you got a bunch of kids at home, I understand, you know, sometimes you got kids at the house, and poor Miss Aileen, are the kids still there? Or you still got the kids? Or I bless you. I'm glad. I wish we had my parents or grandparents around to be able to do that. Not that I would do it a lot, but, you know, and so sometimes you got to come to the church and say, you know what, I need the altar at the church. You know, it's not so much for Bill Joe and Miss Tammy. You know, they got Gabe and Cherokee and right around, but, you know, when you got kids so much around, sometimes as a parent, you got to say, honey, I got to get away. Or as Crystal likes to say, honey, I got to get apart before I come apart. Because that's what Jesus told the disciples several times. He said, come ye apart. Because if not, sometimes you're going to come apart as a parent. You love your children. And you'll understand one day, kids, when you have kids of your own, even if you just have one or two, that sometimes you need some peace and quiet. Sometimes you got to come apart and go into that private setting. And so Jesus is not saying not to have a public prayer life, but he's saying if that's all you've got, you're a hypocrite. And so in verse 2, he says, therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound the trumpet. Sorry. Let's stop right there. I know some people, and I won't call names because my wife knows and nobody else in here knows them, but my wife does. But I went out to eat with this family a few times years ago before I met my wife. Some families I know, and they would make a big show of it. They would go in to a restaurant, and they would make a show of it. They'd be like, shh, 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 can y'all be quiet? Can y'all be quiet? We're about to pray. I only went out with them about twice, and I was embarrassed. Yeah, I was embarrassed. I was like, you know, that's not what God wants us to do. And I understand being respectful. We've had people be blessed. We were at a restaurant one time. We prayed. We wasn't trying to. We prayed quietly, depending on the size of the table we've got to sit at. We was at Taco Bell the other day. We were back in the back corner, and we prayed as a family in Taco Bell. I didn't make no big show of it. We don't get loud. But years ago, we were at a restaurant. We were in the back corner by ourselves. And we prayed. And somebody came up and handed us some money and said, I'm so glad to see a family praying together. I just wanted to buy your meal. And handed us some money. I don't remember. It was like $60, I think. And we ended up just putting it in the church, giving it to the church or something. But, you know, because we're not doing it to be seen. But if that's all you ever do is you pray out in public over your meals, you're just trying to be seen to men. There's people that do that. There's people, they probably have no prayer life. But they go out in public and they can make a big show of things. And Jesus says, listen, don't do that. He said, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound the trumpet. Don't make a big show of it as the hypocrites in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. If you do that, that's your prayer life. To be seen to me, that is your reward. If the only reason you do the things you do, listen, I said this the other week. There are people in my life, now I've seen, there'll be people that'll stick their check in their pocket with it facing out. And they'll walk around the church. I've seen people do it in churches. To be seen. So, like, that's some kind of thing to show off. That you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. I don't understand how you think that's bragging. Oh, because my tithe is bigger than your tithe? Well, at one time, my tithe was real small. We didn't make much money. Praise God, I'm glad. Glory to God that we can give what we give now when we tithe. I don't do it to be seen to men. But that's the way some people are. It's all about being seen. They make a great big pretense and they make a great big prayer. He said, that's your reward. It's just of men. Verse 3, but when thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. He said, go as far as not even. Listen, there's been times where, man, I'm left-handed. I write with my left hand. There's been times where God's touched my heart, man. And I go to write that check, and my right hand's going, don't do that. Don't do that. Man, you get you. I'm like, no. We gave our commitment last year. We give to missions here, and we give missions through our home church in North Carolina. And last year when we wrote down what we wrote down, the devil's going, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I'm going, God said this is what I'm going to give, and this is what we're going to give. And we give it. And I'm thankful for it. My only regrets, I wish I wasn't in so much debt at 43 years old. I wish I would quit running up so much debt so I could get more. I can't take it with me anyway. I'm not talking about being broke. I'm not saying you got to break yourself. But I'm telling you, I wish that, you know, we would had been better. That's what I try to instill in my daughters. I'm like, save, save, save. Now's the time. We're paying for most everything that you got. Now's the time to save everything you can so that when you get married, you've got something built up. You can put money down on a house. You don't have to go to a 30-year loan at $1,200 a month like somebody. I don't know how some of these people sleep at night, honestly. I listen to Dave Ramsey just to get the encouragement. At least I know I'm not that stupid. There'll be people calling in, man. I'm talking about they making $100,000 a year with an $18,000 to $2,000 a month house payment. I couldn't sleep at night. And I'm like, granted, I know houses here are a lot cheaper. But our first house, we paid $130,000 for our house. Our house payment was $800 with escrow included. And these people are paying $2,000? What in the world are you living in? You don't have to do that on your first house, kids. I wish we would have bought one of the cheaper ones and just been, not been house broke. But anyway, he said, don't let your right hand, your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Don't listen, you will, if God touches your heart about doing something, I said before, like Brother Goldsmith, man, God put on your heart to slip him $100. Don't wait around because the devil will be talking in your ear. You don't do that, don't do that. I know, I've been there. I've done things for our pastor I'm thankful for. I wish I could do more. My only regret is I'm not there in October when it's Pastor Appreciation Month to take him out for a steak dinner. I wish I was there in North Carolina during October. I'd like to take my pastor out for Pastor Appreciation. I'd like to be good. When I went home 2 years ago, I purposely went out for a meal with my pastor and treated my pastor out for a meal because I don't get a chance to much. I didn't do it to be seen, but I did it because I love him. I want him to know I love him. But listen, it's an open prayer life or a closet prayer life. Which way do you want your rewards? He's not saying you can't pray openly like we just did, but if that's all your prayer life is to be seen and that kind of thing, you've got your rewards. Verses 7 through 15 now. Now he's dealing with the outward prayer versus the heartfelt prayer life. And that's what he's getting into. We call this the model prayer. We don't call it the Lord's prayer. The Lord didn't need to pray for forgiveness of sin. God has never sinned and he's not trespassed against nobody. So I'm just letting you know. And he doesn't owe anybody a debt. In Matthew it's debtors and in Luke it's trespasses. But I'm just letting you know. In verses 7 through 15, here's what he says now. Oh, I didn't finish. I'm sorry. I didn't finish the first thing. Verses 5, it was 1 through 6. He goes on for the open prayer versus the closet prayer. He said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That's where you need to do your prayer life. That's where you're going to do. You want to pray for somebody? You want to pray that somebody gets saved? Go into your prayer closet. Man, if it's got to be a closet, go into a closet. I understand there's 8 people living in our house. If you got to go into a closet, go in the closet. Brother Qualls, I think it was. Yeah, Brother Qualls, his prayer closet was not really a closet. His house, before he moved to Georgia, they said he had a spot, he owned land, and he had a tree somewhere out in the woods. And he would go out there to that tree, and that was his prayer closet. That's where he'd get along. Brother Sam Allen. I don't know if I could do that. Brother Sammy Allen, great man of God, loved to hear. I got a picture with him, but I knew we wouldn't see him. He wouldn't be around long. Brother Sammy Allen got COVID and ended up dying during the middle of COVID. But Brother Sammy Allen, his prayer closet was the tub. He climbed the bathtub every morning at his house. He'd pull the curtain and he'd sit there for 3 hours in his bathtub praying to God. I guess it must have started when his kids was at home, because I don't know what would make him go to the bathroom tub and pray for 3 hours. But hey, if that's where you got to go to get along with God, you go right ahead. You get where you've got to get alone. And listen, if you got to put a sign on the door that says prayer in progress, it's not taking away your reward. It's just trying to get your family to understand, hey, I need some privacy right now. You need to know that. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray. God is telling you this because sometimes you need that closeness, that closing off of the world. And again, that's why if you need a key and you want to come to the church, you let us know. Hey, be there. All I ask is if I'm here, you know, and you want to be alone, I'll be glad to go to the station. Pray. Shut the door, pray thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now our outward prayer life versus our heartfelt. Here's in verses 7 through 15. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. You will repeat stuff, okay? You will repeat stuff. But the Jews, they sit there and they utter the same thing, some of them over and over. That's vain repetition. God, I was raised. I love my mom and dad. I'm not trying to mean, but we were raised, and I can't even remember now how it went. We just talked about it the other day. We said the same prayer over our meal every time. Thank you, Lord, for this. Oh, goodness. By His hands, we all are fed. Thank you. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. And I don't remember now how we ever started. But that's the same prayer we prayed over our meal every single time. Thank the Lord that I've long forgotten how it goes. But if I ask my brother, because I think I did, that's why I remember. I asked my little brother. By His hands, we all are fed. Thank you. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. That's how it was. And then at night, we would say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's what we pray. Now, I'm not saying, God, this is Scripture. You're more than welcome to say this over and over again if you need to, or to use this. We call this, again, the model prayer. And I don't have my outline, but I've preached about this here coming up. But God wants you to be honest. Listen, and here's another strategy. If you need a strategy, how do I do it? Get you a chair, set you a chair in front of it, and kneel down in front of that chair and talk just like you would to somebody sitting there, because that's your Father, God the Father there, waiting for you to request some things. Hey, but while you're requesting, the first thing He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." But before you get started, hey, praise His name a little bit. Acknowledge who He is in your life. Thank Him for saving you, whatever it may be. But He don't want you to use vain repetition. He wants to hear. Could you imagine, Brother Joe, if Gabe comes to you every day, over and over and over again, day after day, asking you for the same thing, in the same way, in the same words, every single day? It wouldn't take long to get old, would it? God wants you to talk to Him just like you do to anybody else. God wants you, when you pray to Him, to speak to Him and make your request known unto Him, but speak like you would to Him. Pray to Him just like He's right there with you. I love it when my kids come to me and ask, not demand, "I need 20 bucks. Well, guess what? You ain't getting that. I know. Exact. Thank you. You know that. But they come back because, "Daddy, can I have some?" Hey, that's what God wants. I'm not saying butter Him up, but God wants you to approach Him like, "Hey, I can't meet this need. These requests we just made tonight, we can't meet those needs, but He can." And that's the way He wants you to approach Him. That is a heartfelt prayer, not some outward prayer that a lot of people just make. Oh, speaking over and over again, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for the much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. I love it when I already know what the kids ask or want to ask. But they still come to me and ask. Why? Because they're acknowledging my authority in their life. They're acknowledging that they're in submission to me or to mom. They're acknowledging that this need or whatever permission or a need or whatever it is cannot be met without us. Yeah, you can go out and do it. You can go out and get a job without the will of God. But what happens? You end up in a mess. You go out and, we bought cars without praying over it. You know what happened? We end up regretting it deeply. Miss Barbara and Brother Tim, they told us years ago, this is early on in their marriage. They've been married for 62 years. Miss Barbara and Brother Tim said they went out. They knew they needed a vehicle. They was going to pick up kids or something for the church or whatever. Anyway, they went and bought an old one of those Volkswagen buses or vans. She said it was a lemon. She said they had that thing for years. Every time they fixed something, something else would break. They fixed this, it break again. She said it was nothing but, I'm pretty sure it was a Volkswagen, but one of their little vans that they had. And she said it was the biggest lemon. She said it gave them nothing but problems. She said they didn't pray about it like they were supposed to. And she said when they finally got rid of it, they just could not wait to finally get rid of that thing. It's important. That's why we may breathe. Bring one of that car she's got. I may just spend time praying about it. Why? Because if something starts happening, if you pray about it and God gives you the go ahead and says, yes, this is what I want you to have, it makes it a lot easier when something happens to it. Because you know that it's still in the will of God, and God's going to take care of it when something happens. We've been praying about a vehicle, and praying about a vehicle so we have a safe vehicle for the kids. Me and Mama's paxing it, killing us with that other Suburban. Of course, I do miss the paid-off Suburban. But we've been praying about it, praying about it, praying about it. And my wife found this one, and I was like, man, at first, I was like, no, I just don't like paying out of my money. But we prayed about it, and we prayed about it. And when we went down there, and I feel like, you know, it's probably going to be the one. But when we went down there, and we got to talking to the salesman, and found out that he's Hispanic, found out that him and his son's a preacher, wants to be a missionary, wants to do just what I'm doing. He wants to go to Garden City and plant a church, a Spanish-speaking church in Garden City. The guy that owned the dealership down there in Dodge. He goes to the Spanish-speaking Independent Baptist Church down in Dodge. Man, I just felt the peace of God come on my heart. I was like, this is it, this is what. And we've had a few hiccups on it, but other than that, man, it's been great. We have been married for 20 years. We bought the first Suburban. We bought the blue Suburban and that brown Suburban. We bought anything else from a dealership. We bought that minivan. We bought four vehicles since we've been married from dealerships. Five. Did I count that one? We bought all of our Suburbans from dealerships. This is the first vehicle we have bought from a dealership that I've not had major problems from. The first one. The very first Suburban we bought, we loved it. We weren't married long. We wanted something. We weren't spiritual like we're supposed to be. But we did want a Suburban, so we went and got a Suburban. That's what she wanted. I kept telling them it was making a noise, kept hearing it. When I finally figured out it was a catalytic converter stopped up, they wouldn't fix it. Oh, they heard the noise, but then it's like, well, that's not where the noise came from. So it cost me two catalytic converters. This was in the early 2000s when catalytic converters were still super expensive. Had to replace them. I want to say it's like $1,600. I could be wrong to replace the catalytic. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. Then I bought that blue Suburban. It was all detailed out. We got it home that weekend. It rained. Every window in that thing leaked. I walked out. It had that much water in the cup holder from the windshield leaking. And they told me they didn't know nothing about it. I said, man, y'all are liars. The one we did buy up there in Nebraska, we knew kind of it didn't have air conditioning, had to be fixed, and a couple other things. So we kind of knew some of that. But that right there, the only thing we've done is had to put sensors in the tires. That's it. Praise God, I'm glad for it. I'm telling you, it pays to spend time praying about stuff. You ought to pray about houses. You ought to pray about cars. You ought to pray about your spouse. Owen, stand up, buddy. You ought to pray about your house. You ought to pray about who you're going to marry. You ought to pray about your finances. Not just giving, but you ought to pray about what God would have you do after you've given to the church, then how to spend your money wisely, what food to buy. God, help me to be a wise steward with the food I buy. Whatever it may be that you're going to spend, you ought to spend time praying about it. I've got to move on. Verse 8 now, verse 8, he already knows what you need, but he wants you to ask. Verse 9 now, here is the model prayer. We call it the model prayer, not the Lord's prayer. After this manner, pray ye therefore. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Now, that's Jesus is acknowledging. He is our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. His name's holy. Acknowledge he is his position. He's in heaven. Thy kingdom come. That's what we're expecting. That's what we want. We want his kingdom to come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that's what you want when you're praying for stuff. God, what is your will about this matter? What is your will about missionaries? I mean, that's what I pray about missionaries that come in. Lord, what is your will? Should we support this missionary? Should we not? And there's been some missionaries we did not support. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what we ought to be praying. Give us this day. Now we're not like what it was back then. Back then it was, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Now it's, Lord, give us this month our monthly food. And we're guilty about that, but I pray over it. I've been praying. My wife went to Sam's yesterday and got a load of food. We're blessed and I'm thankful. We used to not be. When we first got married, we got paid by the week. We bought groceries by the week. And we get paid once a month now. And so we get our groceries once a month. But however you get them, pray and thank God. Give us, number 12, forgive us our debts. If you owe debts or trespasses or sins, ask God to forgive them as we forgive our debtors. If somebody owes you, somebody's done wrong to you, learn to forgive. Lead us not to temptation. Amen. God put, to, listen, Lord, if you know it's something that even if you know that I should be able to overcome it, Lord, if you know I'm going to get caught up into this, please don't let this temptation come into my life till I'm ready to overcome it. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14 now. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We ought to be willing to forgive others. Listen, that's the heartfelt prayer versus your outward prayer. If all I'm doing, listen, I've been guilty of it in times in my Christian life. I can say for 25 years, there's times where I've neglected my personal time, and I've realized how much of a difference your personal heartfelt prayer, your personal one-on-one time with God, it matters. Trust me. Say for 25 years, I'm telling you, it matters. I still need to spend time with God. I've been trying to do better. When I come up here during the week, I've been trying to take some time. Nobody else here, and just spend some time. God, get along with God, Lord, and praying for these people that have been coming. Lord, let them get more faithful. I'm glad Miss Tammy's able to come like she comes. I'm glad she's coming like she is. I understand why she'll come. Some of these people, there's no reason they can't be here tonight. There's no reason they can't be there on Sunday morning. But they're choosing to let something else be their God. They may say, oh, no, preacher, that's not the case. Listen, whatever keeps you out of the house of God, that is your God. If you say, well, my job does, find another one. I'm not telling you, Miss Tammy comes where she comes. She's coming twice a week. Praise God. She works her job. I'm telling you, if somebody's not able to come at all because they're letting their job, it'd be better for you not to have that job. If you can't come to church at all because of a job, that's what we tell people. That's why we have a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a Tuesday night. And I'd have a Wednesday or Thursday service if that would have taken to get some to come to church. But they just use that as an excuse to miss other service. People are, they are, footballers. Listen, I know, I've been there. There's a football game on. Let me ask you a question. 10 years from now, are you going to remember that the Chiefs lost to the Jaguars last night? Probably not. But could it matter in somebody's eternal soul whether they was at church Sunday night or not? Could it? Could. I wonder how many people got to stand there before God and God said, this has been the Sunday or this has been the midweek service that you got saved if you'd have been at church, but you let your job or you let your sports or you let some spouse or whatever. People don't like it, man. In the South, boy, they hate it when you start preaching, especially against hunting. They think, well, Sunday's the only day I get to go hunting. Well, then maybe you need to ask your job to skip a day at work then. If you're going to skip church for go hunting. People skip, man, for everything. Like I said, I understand we missed a couple weeks for our vacation. I don't know, I understand from time to time. But people think, man, people now would say that There are people right now, I know a lady right now that was telling another lady, this is where she goes to church. She had been in this church in over a year. But she told another lady and invited another lady to church that my wife's been dealing with. And she had been in church in over a year. But she told her this is where she goes to church. In her mind, this is where she goes. And I'm not trying to make fun of her or be mean, but I'm just saying, when you tell me, well, I go there, the Sunday they show up, or the Tuesday they show up, at the time they show up, or they when you don't show up, by the time they show up. And it happens to faithful people. Brother Larry Adams, I was talking to him a while back. Brother Larry Adams is the one, his ministry supplied the baptistry and the steeple and the air conditioning and all, and some other things. I was talking to Brother Larry Adams, and he goes from church to church to church to raise support to do those things. He was at another church down actually close to where we came from. Well, Larry Adams is from the Nook Mountains, North Carolina. He was down in the Piedmont area. He didn't tell me who it was, but he told me down in the about area where he was down there, and he asked, and that down there was where they got a guy down there is what paid for the mini splits for our house and all. He was at another church preaching and presenting his ministry and all, and the pastor there offered, and they paid for it. But anyway, and so he goes from church to church to church, raising support. So he was out, but he still does what he's supposed to in his home church. He still goes out knocking doors with his home church. And he was talking to a man and inviting the man to church. And he said, I even told the guy, now there's a pretty good chance I won't be there. You know, I'll be out. Sure enough, he said the guy showed up on Sunday night and asked the pastor, where is that man at? He invited me to church. He said, I saw the guy later. He said, I told you that I'm not always there. But the guy tried to use it as an excuse. Don't neglect your personal prayer life. Your heartfelt prayers. The real you is what you do when nobody else is around. Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Do you talk to God? That is the real you. If all you do is spend time on Instagram, Facebook, MySpace, that's way too old now. I never had a nice place in. If all you spend time on is which one, make sure I hit Snapchat or any of them other ones. I don't remember because I could care less. It's not in me. Or YouTube, and you don't spend time in the Word of God, that's what your God is. What you spend your time, money, and effort doing, that's your true love. If you spend time with God, that's your true love. I'm not like jokes the next, you know. Maggie's wearing that shirt, Janet and Rita. I like a joke sometimes to watch comedians and stuff, clean comedians stuff. The girls like watching Bluey. There's nothing wrong, inherently wrong with that. But if you spend all your time doing those things, that's where it becomes a problem. I'm going to finish the rest of the chapter, Lord willing, next week. Let's stand tonight. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart. If you know that your prayer life is not right where it needs to be, next week we'll be dealing with fasting and other things. But if maybe you've realized your heart is not where it needs to be with your prayer life, you don't have a closet prayer life, and God, you're not doing right, that's what this altar's for. Maybe you realize you're not saved. That's what this altar's for. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, that I can talk to heaven. I don't need an extended phone plan. I don't need those special tools, God. All I've got to do is bow my head and call upon the name of the Lord, and you'll hear me, God, in an instant. God, I pray, Lord, if there's one tonight that is lost and undone on the road to hell, may they come tonight to be saved. And Lord, for those that are like me, God, that realize that our prayer life is not where it needs to be, God, may we get it under the blood tonight, and may we do a better job going forward. Speaking with you. Help me, Lord, with this model prayer to put it in my life, God. Hallowed be thy name, God. Holy, holy, holy is what Isaiah heard, high and lifted up. Amen.